Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with my co-host, Jackson Courtney. Jackson?
How you doing, Drew? It's nice to be on and nice to see you. We thought the hurricane was going to do a little more damage, but glad you're here.
You know, it went west of me, and then it circled around way north of me, so we got some wind and we got a tiny bit of rain, but really didn't see what could have been, you know. So
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. We would have made it through somehow or another, one way or the other. Anyway, we're here tonight, Jackson, on an open show. That means that our listeners, again, are our guests. They get to determine the conversation, the direction of the conversation, what they want to talk about, what's important to them. There are lots of good topics that they could talk about, you know, and so we'll leave it up to them to make that decision. Some people like to call in and ask about Social Security questions. You know, they want to know when's the best time to file, or they've had a problem with Social Security or Medicare. They have some questions on that. Maybe it's their 401k, their IRA, Roth conversions, tax planning, whatever the case may be. If it deals with your personal finances, we're here to help you and do what we can to answer any questions that you might have and see if we can give you a little guidance to give you a boost in rectifying whatever it is that you're curious about, whatever it is that you're questioning. And that's what we do on this show. We do the show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional financial advisor should be able to do, dealing with all areas of personal finance. And if you want to call in and ask that question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. That number again is 410-922-6680. You know, Jackson, we get emails, or at least I get an email from NAFA, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and usually journalists are looking for an advisor to answer a question. They like to talk to the NAFA advisors because they're fee-only and independent. And when they send out a notice, they normally get 50 or 60 emails. Well, one from the Wall Street Journal recently sent out an email to NAFA and says, hey, I want to talk about the Irma surcharge where Medicare Part B premiums are increased if your income is over certain breakpoints. And I wrote to the journalist like I do normally, and sometimes I hear back, sometimes I don't. With this one, she immediately responded, and she said, normally, in the first hour, I get over 50 emails from NAFA people. She said, on this topic, you were the only one who ever responded on Irma surcharge. That was shocked me, because this is an area that a lot of people don't know, that they're overpaying for their Medicare Part B premiums. If they, you know, the IRS says your income's too high, and the surcharge can be relatively significant. And if you know the rules, you can get that reduced a lot of times. Not always, but a lot of times.
Sure.
So anyway, we've got some callers on the line. Let's go to them, Jackson.
Sure. We're going to go to Tom in North Carolina first.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and good to you guys. You guys do a great job on your show. I really enjoy it. It's very enlightening.
Where in North Carolina are you, Tom?
Oh, I'm getting rained down here like crazy right now. Rain and the wind, but we're okay. We'll get a tropical storm. I'm near Wilmington.
Yeah, so you're getting that tail end of Idalia that he was asking me about at the beginning of the show. So, you know, well, what can we do for you? How can we answer your question?
Well, the question I have here is regarding Irma, and I will say that, Irma is definitely a scam by the government, but that's okay. That's a story for another day. Anyways, my question is, In 2021, I sold some properties, real estate properties I had. And so obviously I had some big capital gains. It took my Magi up to about $475,000. So, of course, this year, 2 years later, 2023, I'm getting nailed with a Irma surtax. So the question I have here is, on their reasons for being able to get maybe a variance or reduction on it, loss of income-producing property. So my question here is, I sold these properties, so I no longer have income-producing properties. Can I apply for them to reduce my rates?
Well, it's an argument that you should try, okay? That's not the purpose for the income reducing, you know, loss of income producing property. That's not what they were referring to. That would be more something like, you know, you were got divorced and the income producing property went to your spouse, but divorce is another issue that you can file for. It would be more like, you know, you had a, you know, you had to take the building down because it got condemned or something of that sort. I mean, these are the kind of things. But yes, I would agree that sale of the property and loss of that income producing property could be an argument. But if they look at the gain that you have, they say, well, just because you lost the income, you got this big gain, so you're just going to have to pay it for 1 year. And then you'll go back to where you were before. The thing you should have done is a 1031 exchange.
Well, I realize that and I understand that, and we talked about that, but we were just we're ready to get out of those properties, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And
well, you should definitely file the SSA 44 and ask for refund of the monies. Based on the loss of income-producing properties. But, you know, when you prepare the report, make sure you, you know, you think carefully about how to send that in to them, okay? And if there was a medical reason that you sold them, that would be a good thing to also put down there. Say, you know, like we had some major expenses coming up. We had to sell them. We're losing the income-producing property. And we needed the cash to pay for these bills, et cetera, et cetera. That would be the argument I'd use. Okay, Tom? Great question.
Yeah,
all right.
Great question.
Good question. Well, what do we got? We're already over.
6:15,
Jeff and Barry, we're going to be with you in a second. Right now, we got to take a pause with traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. We got a few people online. So, Jackson, let's go right to them. Jeff in Woodlawn, right?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? How can we help you?
Hi, Drew.
Hey,
hi,
Jeff.
Jackson. I have a question about the Maryland Senior Tax Credit.
Yep.
Apparently that was new for 2022.
Yep.
It specifies that you're eligible for a $1,000 tax credit on your Maryland return if you're over 65 years of age and your federal adjusted gross income does not exceed $100,000.
Right.
Is that what you refer to as like a hard break? So like if you have $101,000, you don't get it, but you have $99,000, you do?
That's exactly what it is, and that's what drives me crazy. I mean, think about it. A guy that makes $99,999 gets $1,000 off their Maryland tax return, and a guy who makes $100,050 gets nothing off of his tax return. You figure that out for me, Jeff.
Yeah. Is there any provision for reducing the federal adjusted gross income by eligible Maryland subtractions such as federal bond interest?
Well, that is one that is one of the few that you get, okay? Not much more, but that's one of the few. Now, I should take that back, okay? Now, here's a funny thing. You want to hear a really funny thing, Jeff? Okay?
Yep.
Maryland also has a similar hard break for your exemption, okay? So not only do you lose the $1,000 credit, but you also lose $1,600 of your Maryland state exemption. You get $1,600 per person, or you get $3,200 per person. And if your income's over $100,000, even by $1, you lose that exemption also, $1,600 of it, half of it.
I did notice in the tax booklet that there is a provision for a recalculation of the Maryland exemption.
This is what I'm going to get at, right? Uh-huh. Okay, if you have Maryland U.S. government bond interest, they will make you whole when you report that interest, even though if it was only that interest that brought you over that $100,000, they'll make you whole on the exemption, but there is no such provision for the credit. Go figure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is the kind of garbage that not just Maryland legislatures, but the federal government is doing more and more of. That's what this Irma surcharge that Tom was talking about. It's a cliff vesting, $1 over. The electric vehicle tax, $1 over. You don't get the $7,500 credit. This kind of garbage is going on in the tax code. But there is no sane person that can call me up and explain to me why somebody making $100,000 gets $1,000 off their tax bill, and a guy making $100,001 loses it. I mean, it just boggles the mind how evil the tax system has become.
Yeah, so even though that's somewhat logically inconsistent between, like, the federal, how they treat the personal exemption phase-out, and the senior tax credit, that's just the way it is, because that's the way the law is written.
That's the way these bunch of interesting individuals in Annapolis have done it. All right?
All right.
Good question, Jeff.
So you get stuck on the Maryland senior tax credit.
Yep, that's understand. Right. Now we got to go to Barry in Harford County now,
All right,
Jackson.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, Barry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, gentlemen, for a great show, as always.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing. How can we help you?
Quick question. On the sale of a residence that was never used as a rental property in Maryland, am I correct in interpreting, I guess, for lack of a better word, that the capital gain would be taxable in the year that that's sold, that there's no exemption or reduction of that tax on the capital gain?
So what state was the property sold in?
In Maryland.
Oh, so it was sold in Maryland, okay?
Yeah.
And you live in Maryland too, right?
Correct.
Okay. But it was a rental property, right?
No, it was a second home, but it was never rented.
Oh, it was a second home, but never rented. But if it appreciated in value, you'll have a capital gain, and it's just more income on your Maryland income tax return. Is that what you're asking?
And it won't get the personal exemption.
Well, yeah, he could lose his personal exemption if his income goes over $100,000, and he'll lose the credit if he's over 65 and his income. Or are you married or single?
Married.
So yours is $150,000. So if your gain pushes you above $150,000 on your federal return, because the gain will be reflected in your AGI on your federal return, right, you won't get either the exemption or the credit.
Okay.
So, that's criminal. You know, that kind of stuff is criminal, personally. That's the way I look at it.
I know. It's just, it's atrocious, and I'm just trying to, you know, stay between the goalposts here on this thing.
Yeah, I understand, my friend.
I guess my other question would be, if that property is sold in the calendar year of 23, should we be doing basically, like, I don't know what you'd call it, an advance deposit?
No, you might need, you probably safe harbor, which means that if you've paid in at least 110% of your income from your tax from the year before, you'll owe no penalty if you owe money at the end of the year. So I don't think you're going to need to do that. So how did you get this home that you sold? Was it an inheritance, or did you just buy it and sell it?
No, it was purchased 11 years ago.
Okay. So, you know, is it going to be a big gain?
Not really. There were some issues with it, and went back and forth with two different buyers. And the bottom line will end up after, if we accept this current contract, which I think we will, that the gain after expenses of sale would be $53,000.
But your other income is going to push you up over $150,000 AGI?
Yeah, we're gonna pierce that.
Okay, so what you need to do is before December 31st, you need to do some tax planning to see is there ways that you can drop your income down before December 31st. You know, look for losses that you have in a stock portfolio, possibly, or you know, is there anything else you can do to minimize your income before you report? Is there any? Can you estimate the cost basis of that house and get more improvements and other things that you paid to bring the overall net capital gain down? Maybe you're underestimating the cost basis, which we find quite often with clients when we really question them. So maybe you need to do some tax planning and try to work that down, okay?
Yeah, okay, good idea.
All right, sir, good call, good question. We got to run, and let's see if we can get Lee in here. We only got a minute before we got to take a hard
break.
Hey,
Lee, how you doing? Hey,
Lee?
Hey, Lee, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Lee, go ahead and ask your question. I only have about 50 seconds, and we might have to take you over.
What about NVIDIA and Tesla for an investment? Not short term, but like a year, a couple of years.
Yeah, that's a fascinating question, and only time will tell. NVIDIA clearly is going to be the leader in semiconductors for AI, artificial intelligence, and how long that's going to continue is only time will tell. Stock already reflects a lot of that. Tesla, on the other hand, has to figure out how to make more revenue than just selling cars, and that's what Musk is working on. So we could talk more about it after the break, but right now I've got to take that hard break at 6:29, and we'll talk a little more about that. Right now we got to go to traffic. Take it away, Trey.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
So we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Jackson Courtney. We could talk golf, Jackson, if you want. The FedEx Cup just ended this weekend, but I don't want to talk about that because I only like Americans to win tournaments in America. And the Ryder Cup is coming up, and we want to see America win the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
Anyway. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask your question. And again, Lee, sorry that I had to move you out there quickly, but again, the problem with NVIDIA has is they're already heavily priced, but that doesn't mean they can't keep going higher because they're clearly the front runner and there's nobody that's going to be able to compete with them anytime soon. But they do have a problem, and that is that the U.S. is looking at making more sanctions against China because they don't want China to get AI. They don't want them to have any kind of AI, because if they do, they feel that China could use AI against us in military situations and so forth. And if the U.S. government says you can't sell these chips to China, it would be a big deal for NVIDIA, because they do almost 30% of their 25%, I believe it is, of their chip sales go to China. So that's an issue. And Tesla, they got to figure out more revenue models. They can't just sell electric vehicles. They got to get other money in from the clients that they have, subscription prices and other things that they want them to buy from them, et cetera, et cetera. Long-term, electric vehicles, there's a lot of electric vehicle makers. You gotta do something more than just electric vehicles. Anyway, we're on open show, Jackson, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question like Jim wants to do, right, Jackson?
Yes, sir. We're going to go to Jim in Ellicott City. Hey, Jim, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I got a question. I'm having my estate planning documentation reviewed by an estate planning attorney, and he's telling me that my wife and I have simple wills, that, you know, if I die, everything goes to her. If she dies, and I survive her, it goes to me. When we both die, it goes to our son. We only have one child, okay?
Okay.
He says, oh, he looked at all the IRAs, retirement accounts, and the non-retirement accounts as far as how we have beneficiaries set up, and they're set up such that outside of the will, they're going to pass appropriately, and you don't need any kind of documentation, no will, no trust or anything. So he admits to that, and he said that all looks good. He said the only concern is if a client has more than about $1 million or more, which we do, substantially more, then I recommend having a trust to protect you from creditors.
He's reading a page out of our book, because okay, we say that to all the clients too. So and let's look at the positives and the negatives. So we always say to our clients, if you're leaving more than $1 million to your children, you need to look at the idea of leaving it in trust, because if he has a divorce, he could lose half of the money. If he's a professional like Jackson and I, we're financial advisors. Everything we do has personal liability. So if my parents leave me $1 million and somebody sues me, my inheritance could go down the drain if it's not in a trust.
Okay.
If I go bankrupt, if I'm an entrepreneur, and they say entrepreneur normally goes bankrupt at least once or twice before they hit upon that entrepreneurial thing. And if there's just general misuse. So those are the four big things. And you could do trust such that it's relatively simple for your son to get the money anytime he wants, but it protects him from divorce, liability, bankruptcy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's the positive side. What's the negative side? The negative side is it's going to cost you a little more to draft that document with that attorney.
Yeah.
And for the rest of your son's life, it's going to cost more money to keep that trust in force, because he's going to have to do a 1041 tax return every year. You know, technically, he should be doing some trust accounting to know how the tax return is going to be filed. He might need to use a professional trustee someday. That could cost a 0.2 to 0.4% extra. And some of these companies charge 1% to do it. So
okay,
the negative is cost.
Okay, yeah, and that's what I'm looking at. I'm weighing the pros and it seems added complexity at tax time. Now, they're suggesting a grantor trust. So I believe that any gains, capital gains, dividends paid out by the investments that are contained in the trust, I report those on my tax return, not my son.
Well, that's only when you're alive. That's called a revocable trust.
Yes, and be a revocable grantor trust is what he's recommending.
Oh, so he's talking about you gifting money to your child now during your lifetime.
No, it's a revocable trust.
So it's a revocable trust for you and your wife, and then upon your death, it turns into a lifetime trust for your son.
Well, I think he gets the assets go to him.
Well, then the lawyer and I are talking two different things, okay?
Okay.
You don't need a revocable trust for your estate, okay? You
okay.
can just have a simple will.
Yes.
And at the time of your death, you leave everything to your son in trust, to a lifetime trust for your son to protect against creditors and divorce and things like that. Now, there are a lot of attorneys who want their clients to do revocable trust. The reason we would do a revocable trust for a client, now keep in mind, we're not telling you this from a legal point of view. We're telling you this from a general financial planning comprehensive point of view, because we're not lawyers. We can't tell you from lawyer point of view. But the way we look at revocable trust for clients is privacy important to you? In other words, are you concerned that somebody's going to want to see your estate? Okay. Like movie stars and athletes. I'll bet you anything, Lamar Jackson has a revocable trust so that
right.
if, God forbid, anything happens to him, not everybody in Baltimore is going to know where his estate went and what he was worth, et cetera, et cetera. Privacy. Second thing is, do you own property in more than one state? If you own property in more than one state, you might want a revocable trust, because if you do, your children are going to have to probate your estate in Maryland and in West Virginia and Delaware, and they got to go probate all these different states. A revocable trust can eliminate that and bring it all into one state or no probate at all. The third reason you do a revocable trust, in our opinion, is because you've got a lot of property or a business that needs to be instantly managed if you're not mentally capable or you die. So if I owned a business and somebody needs to take over my ownership and run that business immediately the minute I become disabled or die, I'm going to consider a revocable trust with our clients. And the very last reason you do a revocable trust is if you live in a state like California or even Delaware. Delaware is a state that you might want to consider a revocable trust, because their probate process is expensive and you don't want anything to fall into that probate process.
Okay.
And the revocable trust has the best capability of keeping you out of that probate process. But if you're strictly in Maryland, Jim, and that's where you intend to live and die.
Maybe not.
Well, but, you know, until you do,
yeah.
You know, Maryland's probate process is not that complicated. It's not that difficult. It's not a horrendous. And if a lot of your assets, if you put beneficiary designations on them and transfer on deaths and so forth,
right.
you can bypass all that probate anyway. And if it does go to probate in Maryland, it's not ridiculously complicated and expensive like California or expensive like Delaware.
Yeah, so he called it a pour-over will. That's the other term for it.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you see, the pour-over will says if for some reason Jim didn't retitle his assets in the name of the revocable trust and it does go to probate, then we'll just pour it over into his revocable trust. It'll go through probate, and once it gets through probate, it'll go into the revocable trust. And you know, if you do a revocable trust, you better make sure that you do it right. But I'm telling you that my opinion in Maryland, unless you had one of those other four big things, I would just tell them, just do a simple will, and I'll just use beneficiary designations to avoid probate. I only have one son. I don't care. It's not that big a deal. And save yourself the time and complexity of a revocable trust. But hear me, what I said earlier. Your
yeah.
son is going to inherit a substantial amount of money. You might want to consider a lifetime trust for your son so that if he gets married and ends up in a bad marriage, she doesn't take half of his estate. Or if he ends up in a liability lawsuit, somebody doesn't take his entire estate or whatever. And, you know, that's the thing we talk about, not this,
right.
you know. There are attorneys out there that all they ever want to do is sell revocable trusts.
Yeah. He says everything would be held in trust. For your spouse and descendants.
But it's like he's doing it in a different way, in my opinion. What's the attorney's name, if you don't mind?
Well, he did work for DLA Piper Rudnick.
They all say that. You know, I worked with the IRS. I worked with DLA. Plan,
so we had to get a new attorney. He did work there with our prior attorney who decided to retire. They stopped doing estate planning this year, DLA Piper Rudnick. So he's working for Baker Donaldson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of them. You know, there are many reasons you might need it. He's the estate attorney. I'm just telling you from a comprehensive planning
perspective. Oh, yeah, I want to get your opinion. I'm trying to weigh the pros and cons. You hit the nail on the head. That's what I'm looking at. And there's a recurring cost.
I got to run for a traffic break. If you want to hold on, I'll talk to you a little.
Thanks for your call, Jim.
Sure. Yep. Bye. We got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. I'm way over. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I guess Anita thought I was getting a little tired here, Jackson. She had to pump me up a little, you know? She said, you're kind of boring, Drew. Pump it up a little here,
All that talk about estate planning.
All right, let's go, and we're on an open show. We may be able to get another one or two. We've got Howard and Joe on the line, but we may be able to get another one or two if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. But let's go to Howard, see what he has to ask.
Yeah, let's go to Howard. Hey, Howard, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew, I love your show, first of all. Thank you. It's about an inheritance, specifically my girlfriend's inheritance. A little background here. Her dad, she is the only sole heir to a multi-million dollar fortune. Her dad was a Latin American businessman for 30 years, and all her assets are in solid gold. So she's down there right now, and the Colombian government asked us to raise $80,000 to release the gold. And she wants me to manage it. I'm saying, you know, there are huge tax implications. So our plan is to sell the gold and bring it, you know, wire it over to the U.S., but she doesn't understand how money works and all the tax loopholes and the tax implications. And that's where I'm stuck at. So I don't know what to do. I mean, I know the laws, sort of the laws, but trying to explain to her, you know, it's just not easy. You just can't transfer millions and millions of dollars over to her account without the IRS on your back. I just want to get your...
Well, the IRS will want to just know. I mean, she now has to file an FBAR to say that she owns this now. When did she inherit it?
Oh, she inherited... her dad passed away back in 2019, and she's the only person in the will. So we've been together for a few years.
Has she been filing foreign asset ownership paperwork with the United States government?
No, not yet. No, she doesn't know anything about that. I'm trying to explain to her. Plus, we might have to pay tax on the Colombian government. I don't know. In Colombia, the government handles or administers all the inheritance. I forgot if it's a socialist government or not. But that's the thing she doesn't understand. I'm trying to explain it to her, but to no avail. So I wanted to get some advice from you guys. And, because we might have to pay tax on the Colombia side, plus the IRS side.
You're not going to pay anything to the IRS unless you don't file these forms. And you need to be talking to, she needs to be talking to U.S. tax attorneys to make sure when does she need to start filing. And it may have been that she needed to start filing 2 or 3 years ago. And if so, the penalties will be horrendous. So, you know, you need to make sure there's no income tax issues with bringing the money back to the United States. None at all. It's not an issue. My father could die in Italy and leave me $1 billion, and I could get, after I deal with Italy, I could bring anything back to the United States 100% is income tax free, period. Well, and the same is true for her.
I know for a fact she didn't do any paperwork. She hasn't done it at all.
But whose name is it in now? Is it still in the estate's name, or is it in her name?
It's in her name. That's it. She's the only, no estate. She's the only.
You have a serious problem then, because if she hasn't been reporting this to the, is she a green card holder or a U.S. citizen?
No, she's a U.S. citizen. Yeah, she's just down.
Yeah, well, you have a serious problem here. If you haven't done an FBAR filing since she inherited this and it's hers, you've got a big problem. The penalties could be more than the estate.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's that big a deal, and you need to be talking. What's that?
What's the name of that form? What form is that?
It's called the FBAR, or the FinCEN, the FBAR, F-B-A-R. But you need to be talking to somebody like my good friend Eli Knopf. Eli's with the law firm of Frost Law, and Eli's a tax attorney that understands this stuff very well.
Yeah, when you're a tax attorney and estate planning and stuff like that.
No, just a tax attorney. You just need a tax attorney to make sure that you clarify exactly what if he goes in and he does a full disclosure to the IRS, says, hey, look, she didn't understand. She inherited this stuff. She didn't have any idea that she was supposed to do this. They'll still penalize her to some degree, but it may be significantly reduced. And, and since she hasn't brought it back to the United States, there's nothing they can do. So they're going to want to negotiate with her. But you need to talk to somebody like Eli and start getting those forms filed for the past years that she hasn't filed them, so that if they find out before you tell them, you could lose the whole entire thing if you ever want to bring it back to the U.S.
Well, what's your gentleman's name again?
Eli, E-L-I, Knopf, N-O-F-F, and he's with Frost Law. So you just look, just do a Google search, Eli Knopf, Frost Law, and he'll be the first one that comes up. He's a great guy, extremely knowledgeable, and he'll be able to help you through this thing.
Boy, I really appreciate that. Thanks, Drew, for your help. You guys are great. Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, but let me tell anybody out there listening, if you've got money in a foreign account, you don't tell the IRS or the U.S. government, you don't want them to find out before you go try to tell them, you know? And she's got the upper hand because the money's still over in Colombia. They can't get it. They can't take it from Colombia. They can only take it if she brings it here. But she's not going to bring it here until she negotiates that FBAR out. You know, that's the thing she needs to do. Anyway, let's go to Joe.
Yeah, we're going to go to one last caller here. Joe. Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Okay, quick question. I have an IRA worth well over $1 million. I'm 68, retired. And I want to take the money out, but once I take withdrawals, for example, say I take $100,000 out this year, kicks me up to the 35% tax bracket.
Well, why would you do that?
Well, I want to spend the money.
$1 million?
Yeah.
Really?
Why do I have it?
I don't know, but I mean, are you going to be leaving this?
If you make money, you're supposed to spend it, right?
Yeah, I understand, but are you leaving the earth in the next year so that you don't want to leave any behind?
That's taken care of.
I understand, but if you're expect to live another few years, I mean, why don't you just take it out 50,000, 100,000 at a time, not $1 million?
No, I'm saying 100,000 kicks me from 25% tax bracket to 35% tax bracket.
Okay, so 100,000 does, but there are all kinds of things you can be doing. Do you give any money to charity?
I do, but I'm too young now at 68 to use the IRA.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You've got two more years. You got 2 more years to go, right?
2 years, huh?
Yep, you got to be 70 and a half, not 70, 70 and a half, you know.
Real 3 years.
Yep, so, I mean, that's one thing, okay.
Yep. Got that on the radar.
Let me think. What other things can he do to lower his taxes?
make less money.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have any Roth IRAs or Roth assets?
No Roth. It's traditional. You know, I bought in that you'd be paying less taxes when you're old. The opposite is true.
Are you single or married?
Married.
Okay. So, normally
Roth
if...
is in my name.
Right. Now, keep in mind this, too, that... when you go into the 35% bracket from the 24% bracket, that's not a horrible thing. That just means that that last 100,000 might be taxed at those higher rates.
I agree. I see what you're saying, and that will give me some soothing effect.
Yeah, so. You still get the benefit of all the other tax brackets, keep in mind, But, unfortunately, without knowing where your other income is coming from, it's hard to figure out how you could possibly bring your taxes down and so forth. But
at the edges.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, pay up. If you want to spend it, then pay up.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Joe.
I wonder what Columbia's like moving down there.
Yeah.
Well, take care, my friend. Good call. Okay. Good question. This is Drew Tignanelli. Saying thank you, Jackson, and
yes, sir.
God bless to everyone.
Thanks, Drew. Have a good night. Things are gonna be much better.